Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that your will be done today, that your voice will be heard, and that we'll say what you want us to say in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to share this morning. I had a lesson about Rev. Martin Luther, who in 1517, almost 500 years ago, started the Protestant Reformation, and maybe we'll do that next time. That's really what I think of when I think of Halloween. Halloween, I've tried to research. I don't quite know when the modern incarnation of Halloween started. Sometime, maybe 100 years after the Protestant Reformation. But see, November 1st was considered All Hallows' Day, All Holy Day, and it was a celebration by the Catholic Church. It was a big celebration. And on Halloween, All Hallows' Eve, Martin Luther nailed a piece of paper to the church at Wittenberg Chapel in Germany that literally changed the world. And maybe we'll talk about it some at the end, but I want to share something else first. And probably the most momentous event since Acts in terms of changing the church. There's been quite a few that's hard to characterize, and it may not be, but it's at least the top three or four, and it's just huge. And so on that All Hallows' Eve, All Halloween's Eve, which has come into, was just one of the greatest Christian things that you couldn't even see at the time that happened. And it just set in motions just things that literally changed nations. We would not be here in America without some of these truths as the nation that we have without it. The concept of nation state and democracy came out of that movement. And we'll talk maybe some a little bit about it at the end. I just want to share before we get into it. But it's a major event. And somewhere, I mean, Halloween, I guess, is all right if you want to celebrate it. But somewhere after that, that was defiled and went into just celebrating goblins and ghosts and death. And really, life was birthed back into the church on that day like it had never been before. It was a very dark ages. It was very much death. And so even as you celebrate and dress up and go trick-or-treat, realize almost 500 years ago, there was this hammer on the door that went bam, 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 and nailed those things to that Wittenberg Chapel. And it just reverberated before it was over with all the way around the world and started what's called the Protestant Reformation that we are inherited from. And before I jump into that anymore, we often use around here vertical versus horizontal relationships. Vertical relationship is a vertical relationship with God. It comes from Matthew 22:37-39. The word vertical is actually not there, but it's talking about love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, heart, soul, and mind. I got that out of the whack. And then love others as yourselves. And often you've seen it in our writings and in our speaking, vertical versus horizontal. And I just want to share about that a few minutes because it was just on my heart doing worship, and just reiterate that. And then we'll maybe jump into Martin Luther some if there's time. This is a big deal right now in Christianity. There is just a major realignment, and it's been going on for a long time, not just weeks, but years, where God is to get to where we need to get to as a church, to get to where we need to individually, the vertical has got to be first. Let me show you this video I just found a couple weeks ago. Found it on a church out of Chicago, Harvest Bible Chapel. It's just about a minute and a half video. And if you'll just show that just real quick. I thought it was a great, great little video that they did at their church. It's a big church. You might want to have to rewind it. And so I just got it off their website. A guy named James McDonald, it's his church. Big church, about 13,000 members. Yeah.
The other day I had on my desk 30 recent books written about the Church of Jesus Christ, one word describes them all: horizontal. How to understand your audience, how to impact the people around you, how to influence them, how to win them, how to assimilate them, what they need, what they want, what we think, what they think. Forgetting. Here's a word you need to have in the forefront of your thinking. The word is vertical. Somehow we've lost this in the church. The idea that the church is supposed to be about horizontal, man-centered, human persuasion, cultural penetration. Nonsense. Before the purpose of the church was ever so teleological, it was doxological. Ephesians 3:20 says, "To him be glory in the church through Jesus Christ, now and forevermore." Everything we do has to resound with the fame of the name of God's Son. When that happens, everything else falls into place. Evangelism, discipleship, community impact, ministries of compassion, these things are byproducts of a church that is passionately consumed with the glory of God. It's a concept that you need to have at the forefront of your thinking about the work of the Church of Jesus Christ. Vertical.
And so that was just a real quick thing that they had on the website, so I downloaded and thought, I mean, that's a good summary. And maybe even put it on our website. But it just sort of sums up what I'm about, what you're about, and what this church is about. Just for instance, I was with a group of people in the last week, and they're facing just problems like the rest of us. And some of these problems, like I'm facing, like you're facing, how many of you are just at the end of your rope? You don't know what else to do. You know, it's big bills, relationships. And I could walk into a bookstore. I just wrote a blog this last week. It'll come out probably in 6 weeks or so. And it just hit me when I walked into the bookstore. It's a Christian bookstore. And I'm not cutting down the Christian bookstore. The Christian bookstore is good. I'm trying to get a point across. I looked through all the aisles and through all the stuff. Almost all of them were like what he was talking about, self-improvement books. How to have a better marriage. How to get your finances under order. How to influence people, and just all this kinds of stuff. And it was no different than going to Barnes & Noble, except they had Bible verses and they had a little Bible twist on it. And there are biblical principles on how to do your finances, and we don't underestimate that. Those are all valid and good, and we need to follow those. And if we don't follow those, there's the impact. But in America, I'm telling you, we're not lacking for knowledge. Our problems are not going to be solved by another self-improvement book. Amen. Amen. My mom's books many years ago, you've probably read some of hers. She's written 7 or 8. Several years ago, she was doing another book, The Beauty of Beholding God, submitted it to many publishers. The Beauty of Beholding God. That's a vertical book. She finally got it printed, but it took a long time. Publisher says, those kind of books do not sell in America. The only ones that I basically saw that were vertically related in the bookstore and consuming with church were classics. Things that were printed 30, 40 years ago. Now you can find them. Mike Bickle has them. Other people have these kind of books, but they're not in the Christian bookstore. You have to find them online somewhere as a general rule. And as I was speaking to these people a week or so ago, it was, and for my own self, it comes down to the answer in America is not finding a truth to apply to our life. Jesus said, "I am the truth." And we're at a place in America, we're at a place individually, where we're almost in this box. And God's put us in this box. I won't say God put us necessarily, but circumstances have put us in this box. And our only answer is to cry out and say, do I want God or do I just want His blessings? Horizontal is good. But so many churches, that's the whole thing. They're looking for some horizontal program to increase their people and to grow their churches. And to some degree, they work, just like they sell in bookstores. But I'm telling you, in the end, I've been a Christian all of my life, for 40 years, since I was 13. And I'm at the place, I don't care about any more of this stuff. It's good, but I have got to get into the Holy of Holies. We have got to get into the Holy of Holies. And if you're not familiar with that phrase, there's the original tabernacle of God under Moses in the Old Testament had three parts. There was the outer court, and that's where all the people were. It was open to the sky. And then there was a two-room building that was a shotgun effect. You came into the front room, and you had to go through the front room to get to the back room. And the front room was the holy place, and the center room was the Holy of Holies. And only one man could get there one time a year, and that's the only place where the glory was. And when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was rent and said, it's time for the glory to come out and for the people to come in. But by and large, we have stayed in the outer court. We have stayed in the horizontal. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm telling you, it's not, in the end, it's not satisfying. As I said 2 weeks ago in Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has put eternity in the hearts of men and women. And that is our hope. It's like we spent two Sundays talking about voting and politics, and it's important. And I hope you do it in a week and a half, if you vote, as we talked about, for someone that's pro-life, pro-traditional family, pro-financially responsible, and pro-Israel. Otherwise, you're voting anti-Christian.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
So don't vote if you're going to vote that way. You do us all harm. Yeah. I love you. We spent 2 weeks talking about that. But you know, if we get the best candidates in the Senate and in the House and in the White House that we want, the problems are still too big. We're in denial in America. The problems are too big. We have more people in prisons in our country per capita than any country on the face of the earth. We have over 100% of debt, according to GDP. No nation has ever survived that. We have one-to-one people working and people getting money from the government. Not, you may be working as a federal government employee or state government, that's fine, but you're still living off the backs of those one. No nation has ever survived less than a 3-to-1 ratio. So even if we get everyone that we want, there's not, the hope is to turn vertical and say, Father, you have the answers. You have the answers. And I see a people now that is starting to turn and do that now instead of when it's all just chaos. And so whether it's a national thing or your individual things with relationships or finances, there is a place to learn from each other, and we do. But I'm telling you, most of the problems that we've got now is a place where we've got to move into the Holy of Holies and stay there until we get an answer. Stay there until we know He has answered that prayer. I know I've spent so much of my time running around to get an answer, and I'm still running around on some things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And the Holy of Holies is where the glory of God resided. And that's something we see very little in churches anymore. Most of what happens in a church can be done at the local Rotary Club with enough organization and money. And that's good. The horizontal things are good. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, the only thing that can keep the gates of hell out is the glory of God. Now, what is the glory? I've debated with Cynthia and David and even asked other pastors for the last 6 months what that is, and I'm not sure I still have a good definition of it. But this is where I'm at right now. Because the glory is used so many different ways in the Bible. You see it at all different aspects. And so I can't really get a pinning on it, but this is the best I've come up with now. That the glory of God is when something happens that only God can get the credit for. And He in your life, and He in my life, and He as us as a church, is looking for a people that amazing things are done, where only He can get the credit. I love self-improvement books. I've probably bought double what all of y'all together have bought. Maybe. Maybe not. I bought a bunch. And they're good. There's a lot of good principles there. But I tell you, we're at a place where I want amazing things to happen, where only God can get the credit for it. I want to live in the Holy of Holies. I want this sanctuary to be a place that is a Holy of Holies, that when people come in and go, I was in the outer court out there, but now I'm here. Well, God is omnipresent, Craig, isn't He? Isn't He everywhere? He is everywhere. But there's also an aspect of His, the word the Bible says, manifest presence. There's also an aspect of His presence that is much stronger and much more powerful than any other place. When He was, when that Holy of Holies was there in the Old Testament, was He omniscient? Was He omnipresent then? That means all, everywhere? Yeah, He was omnipresent everywhere. Sure. But what was in that Holy of Holies? There was this manifest presence where it was manifested much stronger than anywhere. And when on that cross that veil rent, He said, I am tired of being in this place. But it's taken in me, that's been in church all of my life, a reorientation. What is church? Is church helping the poor? Is church helping to get your life together? Is church doing missions? Yeah. That's the horizontal side of it. But without the vertical, cleverness of speech, persuasive words, as Paul said. But he says, I want a demonstration of that. And I have a dream of our church, of us individually, the vertical being so strong here, of this being a Holy of Holies, a manifest presence, that when we walk in, we can do this in our closets, we can do this in our own lives, but also as a church, we walk in the combination of the manifest presence in all of us, that things happen that only God can get credit for. Now, it takes a humility to do that. Because as long as it's a self-help thing or just a principle, there's some of it in me that makes it work. And that's a true statement. But God, I don't know if it's just me sensing, but God is calling people to humility and asking Him to move. I've been in many churches in my life. Most of them God does not attend. Even though the horizontal may be right. See, He will bless something He does not inhabit.
Amen. Amen.
I've preached, I've prophesied. There have been times I was not... It was God's grace that it happened. Let's put it that way. I wasn't in sin. I don't think I've ever done it and been in sin that I know of. But there are times I got through, I was like, God, You blessed it, but I didn't feel any inhabitation in me. You know what I'm talking about? He can bless gifts. He can bless movements, and He does. But man, can you imagine a life filled and being inhabited with what was over that Ark of the Covenant. We saw a foretaste of it with Moses. He came down, it was so bright, they asked him to cover his face. That's what I know you're contending for in your own life, and what we're contending for in this church. It's not the best horizontals. I mean, if we get it, fine, but I don't, not even thinking about it. But a place where the people walk in and go, this is the manifest presence of God that's in this place. In that Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod, and it started budding almonds. That thing, 24/7, 12 months out of the year, bore fruit. There's a place in God where there are no seasons. That every season is fruitful. That every season has healing. We see it at the end of the symbolic of the New Jerusalem and the river and the trees on the banks that had fruit all year round. It can happen. Do y'all think that's too idealistic? And so I just challenge you. I know I have problems. I know you, if you're normal, you'll have challenges in your life. You can keep seeking answers because there's wisdom and multitude of counselors. But I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to break until we humble ourselves and go into the prayer closet, as the old Pentecostals used to say, and stay there and say, Father, I'm not going until your glory fills this place and something amazing happens in my life that only you can take credit for.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Let's stand. Mike, would you get on the piano and play? I'm just going to pray here. How many of you want to meet God?
Amen.
I mean, we had a good worship service, but I want to keep meeting them, okay?
Hallelujah, yeah.
Let's just pray. Because I sense a soberness, but also sense people listening. Hallelujah. Just play however the Lord leads you to play. And we're just going to pray over some people and just pray. Hallelujah, Father. And Father, on this anniversary of Reformation, 495 years ago, and it really started, I had a great lesson, it really started 250 years before that. It just broke through the strongholds on that day. Many people died before that to birth it. But Father, on 495 years ago, there was a Reformation. And Father, today, I just pray at Relationship Church in this October of 2012, I pray for a reformation of the vertical to come into this, in our lives, in Relationship Church, and eventually even this city. We pray for your glory in my limited understanding to fill this, our lives, and fill our buildings. And we just say right now, we just humble ourselves and say, we give up. And we say we perish. We say we perish. We say we perish. Unless something amazing happens that only you can take the credit for. Hallelujah, Father. Father, I pray over every person that's here. I pray for every person that's here. That we will touch the Ark of the Covenant, which is the covenant that we have with your Son, Jesus. I pray we will touch Jesus right now. Oh, Father, I pray for a vertical alignment like there's never been before. Father, we repent for running here and running there and filling our days with busyness and calling it activity for God. Father, I pray that as this area is a byproduct of the Reformation of five centuries, I pray on the earth that the next five centuries will say this time that we're in and with other people will be the most major event since the book of Acts. Father, I pray for something bigger. I pray that the Holy of Holies will finally come to rest in our lives and the glory of God walks with us, or we walk with Him. Father, my rod, most of the time, doesn't have many buds on it. Oh, Father, I pray for a change in every person here. That we don't even care about these things budding, but as we're in Your presence, as we spend time in Your face, that there's just prosperity comes, fruit comes. Yes, Father. Oh, my heart cries out for us as a church, for us as a people, to not live in the outer court most of the time and just visit the Holy of Holies. That we will live in the Holy of Holies more of the time than we're in the outer court. Father, I just pray. There are people here, I just hear the Lord saying, there are people here that still think they can accomplish what needs to be done in their lives. And the Lord says, you can keep trying, but it's not going to change. You have reached the limit of what the horizontal can do. Oh, that either I am going to be the way, the truth, and the life, or it's not going to come. And Father, we stand in Your presence now and we humble ourselves and say, we know we're seated with the right hand of the Father. We know theologically where we're at, but we say for a manifestation in the physical realm. That Luther fought against religion that kept their people dumb, that kept their people from reading the Bible, they tried to keep their people illiterate. And we're better than that, Father, now. But there's still... that got us in the outer court and some in the Holy of Holies. And I pray for the glory of God to visit us, Father. We pray, whatever that looks like, whatever amazing things happen, but that whatever happens, if it brings our heart to Jesus. Let's just pray for a few minutes. Father, today we just come to You in the best way we know how, and we say, let us be captured by the beauty of Jesus Christ. Let us be captured not by just what can happen, not just by the promises that can come and just here to get over through this week, and that's all good. But Father, I pray we'll be captured by the beauty of Jesus Christ right now. Oh, we pray we'll be captured by the Bridegroom. Oh, Father, we want to do the two greatest commandments of being in the vertical first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank You. There's a reformation, a new one that is happening. Hallelujah, Father. And Father, as senior leader here, I just say, this church we dedicate to the glory of God. I pray that no one knows my name or anybody else's name. I pray they do not know Relationship Church's name. I pray the only name they know is Jesus, because of the power and the influence of how they were touched when they came into this building. Father, we pray for a second great reformation. The first one got us right theologically. We pray this one gets us vertical with you in all ways. Yes, Father. We say we live only for you. We live only for your glory. And all of our challenges in life, we're going to seek ye first the kingdom of God, your face, and then these things shall be added.
In the sight of the Lord, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher.
Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, that the best days are not in the past.
Into the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise. Lord, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found one place. So take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take a coal, cleanse my lips. Lord, here I am.
Father, I just thank you that this place is going to be filled with testimonies about how good you are and how you delivered people and how you healed people and how you provided funds and healed relationships. I thank you for the stories by the hundreds and thousands. But I thank you for even more. I thank you that this place, starting with us, is full of people that don't play games and don't play church, but are passionately in love with a man whose name is Jesus and are filled with your Spirit. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, that the seeds of reformation are being sown across this earth. Of how the first reformation got for the most part, the handling of the written word correctly. People couldn't even read it. They weren't allowed to have it in their languages. And through the heroic efforts of John Knox and Zwingli and Martin Luther, and 100 years before John Huss, and 100 years before him, the Moravians. That, Father, the written word was that stronghold was broken, and people could start doing it and exercising it and handling it and studying it. But, Father, I thank you that this Reformation is not going to be about the written word, but it's going to be about, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And it is going to be a breaking open of who the Word is. And His name is Jesus, the Anointed One. His name is Jesus, the Messiah. And this Reformation is going to bring in full circle. The Word and all that it means, Father. Because we're not married to the Bible. We're married to the Word. We're married, we hear His words, but we're married to a man who is called the Word in the beginning. And Jesus, we say no veils in this place. We say no veils in this place. We say no veils in this place. So many times we as churches and we as people put veils back across, or a curtain back across, the Holy of Holies. And we repent, Father. And I know this is sort of turning into an intercession time, but I think it's honoring to the Lord. We repent, Father, of the curtains, even in the name of Christianity, that we have put across you. And we say we want all of your glory. We want you first. And then everything that comes along, that trails, that's in your spiritual atmosphere, that's in your aura, so to speak, that's around you, where people just touch your garment and get healed. And Father, in our lives, we say we want to be men and women of God. That means we know you and you are our friend.
To my knowledge, there was very little sound that was in the outer court except the offering of sacrifices and then the sound of the lamps burning in the holy place and the breaking of the bread. But in the holy place, To my knowledge, the only sound that was made when the high priest went in one time a year was the sound of the blood dropping on the mercy seat. The Word of God went in to the mercy seat. The Word was made flesh, and because the Word was paid for on Calvary, the veil was split and the Holy Spirit was given freedom and liberty to fly out of that veil into us. And the sound of His voice in the Word and the freedom of the Holy Spirit is the vertical and the horizontal. God, that is supernatural. You've given us the Holy Spirit of God, as it were, our engagement ring to say, yes, this is what the bride looks like. This is what the voice of the bridegroom is saying. Listen to the voice. Watch the voice. Walk with the voice in the cool of the day, and you will manifest His presence. It's the bringing together of the old and the new, of the faith that was displayed in Martin Luther's hand as he nailed those theses to the door at Wittenberg. And it's a revelation, a marrying of the two, of the freedom of the Holy Spirit being released with the splattering of the blood of Jesus on the mercy seat. And now He walks in us and through us and in the marketplace. It is His supernatural presence that He wants.
Take me away. Take me away into Your glory. Show me Your face. Teach me Your ways in Your glory. Take me away. Take me away into Your glory. Face, teach me Your ways in Your glory.
I'd also say to you, I'm the one that began this work in you all those years back. I'm the one that got your attention. I told you that I will perfect that which concerns you. I will perfect it. I have begun this good work in you, and I will perfect it. Till the day I come back, I will perfect it. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. All I need from you is your humility. Stay humble before me. I will lift you up.
Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Sort of a somber time, but it's a good reflection time. Hallelujah. Tony, this is the heart of the Father in this region. As Martin Luther broke a huge part of the back of religion 2,500 years ago, Jesus is still breaking down backs that stand in the way of knowing Him and seeing Him. And this is my passion, because He's coming back, it says in Revelation. It says He'll come back when the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And the reason the Bride's going to say, come, is because they're so lovesick for Him. Amen. Do you mind just playing for a few more minutes, Mike? We'll just end with this. And if you want to talk, why don't you just maybe do it out in the hallway? And as soon as the kids come in, it'll be gone. But that's okay. Kids are good. But he's just going to play for a few minutes, and we're done. And